For Iraqi poet Dunya Mikhail, poetry is a form of expression that has charted and changed her course of life. She came to the U.S. nearly 20 years ago after Saddam Hussein declared her an enemy. She's written about her experiences in Iraq, but her latest work plays on an old Arabian legend. Dunya Mikhail speaks this evening as part of the Midwest Poets series on the campus of Rockhurst University, and she joins us this morning in our studios. Dunya Mikhail, welcome to Up to Date and welcome to Kansas City.
Good morning, or is it good afternoon?
It's somewhere in the country it is afternoon.
Yes.
Your latest book, Iraqi Nights, echoes the story of Scheherazade, but it also has personal twists. Tell us about your process and how you brought those two elements together.
Yes, you write about the personal and public together in my poetry. It started when we heard about my niece in Baghdad that was kidnapped. She stayed in my mind, and you know, sometimes at nights I would wake up that wondering if she was alive or what is she doing and so on. So then I wrote these seven sections of poems, part of this book, The Iraqi Nights. And the reason I thought of the Arabian Nights, or specifically Scheherazade character, she saved herself through her stories. So I was kind of as if she gave me some hope that would someone survive through if I write these poems. I mean, it's not realistic, but that's what came to my mind, and that's why I... that's how I called it, these seven sections called the Iraqi Nights.
You explained how your niece was kidnapped almost as if it's an everyday occurrence. And can you tell us a little bit more about that and how long ago that was and what happened?
It was It's 5 years ago, and we didn't hear anything yet. So not found yet. Her parents didn't hear good or bad news. And even though they had a visa, they could leave the country, and it is dangerous there, they stayed for this one reason, that they stayed because they didn't hear yet about their daughter. So they don't want to leave the place before they know something. So they stayed.
Five years later, they're still hoping to hear something.
Yes.
How much does your poetry reflect your own experiences?
Everything can be reflected in our writing, in our writings and poems. However, poetry as a craft sometimes take care of things differently. For example, when I'm writing about a personal thing, I try to distance myself from it to some extent. And unlike that, when I write about something that's not personal, I try to adapt it as if it's my own. In this way, I don't sound very sentimental, because what matters at the end, the poem also as experience, is not only our experience, but the poem itself as an experience. Mm.
I'd like to give our listeners a sample from Iraqi Nights. Would you read a selection from the beginning of the book?
Certainly. Yeah, so this is section one. In the first year of war, they played bride and groom and counted everything on their fingers. Their faces reflected in the river. The waves that swept away their faces before disappearing, and the names of newborns. Then the war grew up and invented a new game for them. The winner is the one who returns from the journey alone, full of stories of the dead, as the passing wings flutter over the broken trees. And now the winner must tow the hills of dust so lightly that no one feels it. And now the winner wears a necklace with half a metal heart for a pendant, and the task to follow is to forget the other half. The war grew old and left the old letters, the calendars and newspapers, to turn yellow with the news with the numbers and with the names of the players.
When did you realize that you could or that you wanted to be a professional poet?
You know, I'm not sure that I always have that doubt. I mean, is it that I am what I am doing, why I'm doing this? But every day I see that it's how essential is this in my life. But it's really like it had stages from childhood, that there were turning times where I could recall. Like in childhood was through my the tales of my grandmother on the roof of our house in Baghdad, where she lived with us and she would tell me these fable tales. And those fables were the first experience of literature for me, although they were narrated, no book to see, no pictures. And because no book, no picture, actually I was so fascinated by those fables, I did write those my own way in my notebook. And that was the very first experience of me creating, writing something. And then the other turning time was during, let's say, secondary school, where I would write poems as gifts for birthdays of my friends. The other turning point was in college, where I would, that my first book was published, which was very first writings, and by enthusiasm and encouragement of colleagues.
I just want to change tracks for a moment. What was it about your poems that made Saddam Hussein so nervous about you?
You know, it's not him personally, to be honest. It's his government. I mean, I don't know if he really read my poetry, but there was the reason this was said in the media, that there was a list of poets that, like, blacklist, that these are traitors because... there was also incidents and that if things happened before that I had to leave right away. That list came after I left. But even before I left, there was investigation and there was I was interrogated, and so on. It's a lot of details and relate to that. But my poetry and I myself, it's really like it's ironical that this. Was labeled, first was labeled subversive, which was okay, but then was labeled maybe dangerous. And it's so innocent, actually. It is just, I didn't take sides, that was all.
So what made your writing so controversial?
You know, that time, in that place, in that time, not taking side was not acceptable. That it was the Iraq-Iran war, then there was the Gulf War with America and the Allies, and you were supposed to talk in the term of us and them, and we, that they are the evil, that they are attacking us, there is conspiracy and so on. And I, in my writing, and that you have to encourage even the Iraqi soldiers to go to war, etc., mobilization, all that, and you are on the other side, not only that, you're not taking sides, but also you are anti-dictatorship even, not only anti-war. And that specifically they were very irritated about a passage in the Diary of a Wave Outside the Sea, Part 1, about Zeus, that I used that mythology to depict a leader who was very cruel to the people. So, yeah.
Do you find it difficult to write about war?
Difficult to write, you mean that time?
Yeah.
That time or
yes.
Now?
Yes. Do you find it difficult to put into words the acts of war, or do you find it difficult to look back on the conflicts and write about them?
See, the shield that difficulty you're talking about.
Meaning,
so it's the shield that I used to face that difficulty, that because there was real challenge that how to avoid the censors, because you could lose your life for the sake of one word. And I was not ready to lose my life. So the shield for me was the metaphors of poetry, that I used layers of meanings and metaphors to hide my core meaning from the censors, yet not from the true readers. I wanted to be understood by the readers, but not by the censors. And that was the challenge.
Yes. You've said the reason you left Iraq was censorship. And in an interview with the blog New Directions, you noted the differences in censorship between there and here in the U.S. this way. This is what you wrote. Here in America, a war does not usually cost a poet her life. However, speech is sometimes limited to what is acceptable according to public norms. So in Iraq, text precedes censorship. In America, censorship precedes the text.
Yes. Yes, I noticed that. First thing I noticed about Americans that they are very polite, and that which is great. But then I noticed that things have to be said a certain way, and there are things. So I felt implicit censorship in a way.
Hmm. How quickly did you realize that difference after you arrived here, and did it surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me, but I was as if in the stage of discovering things. I mean, to be honest with you, even in Iraq, I was American more than now. Hmm. I was an American, not by nationality. The way I was, now I think of myself back home as if I was an American living in Iraq. The way I was, how I appreciate these principles, the American principles and all that. Then I came here, I became more Iraqi than I was before. You know what I mean? Because of when you are far from your country, it's more healthy sight, it's more healthy feeling that you see it from afar. So. So now I am Iraqi American officially. I have that hyphen. I'm hyphenated, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm a citizen of both. Not that I was surprised, but I just was observing. Just I'm an observer, not more.
Well, did it change how you wrote? Did your writing change from the time you moved from Iraq to the U.S.?
Yes, I think my writing, the style is one. It didn't change. But those metaphors returned to being their real things. Here, no need for those that I use them for as a shield, just that the way when I need to use them. And it's more realistic. And also there were things hidden in the shelves that I could take back and publish them. Hmm. I think, yes, you can draw a line in my writing between and before and after.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Stephen Steigman. Steve Kraske is off today. We're speaking with poet Dunya McHale. The Midwest Poets Series presents her this evening at 7 o'clock. The reading will take place in the Mabee Theater on the campus of Rockhurst University. Admission is $3, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds. I'll give that information out a little bit later in our broadcast. Would you favor us with a reading from Diary of a Wave Outside the Sea?
Oh, certainly. I read this section here on page 89 to 90. Expresses how when I arrived in America in 96 to Detroit, right? So the first thing. At customs, I was escorted aside. An official asked me questions and flipped suspiciously through my passport. She couldn't believe I had gotten a tourist visa from beneath the ruins. They took my fingerprints many times and photographs of me. I was not sure if I was supposed to smile. Was I a famous poet or a criminal? The official stamped my passport and another mistake was made. She stamped in May 1997 instead of May 1996, giving me a year and 3 months instead of 3 months. Maybe she liked my fingerprints, which can be traced to pencils and tears. One day my fingers will cover the eyes of my friends in Iraq again, and I will ask my friends to guess who is behind them. In baggage claim, my suitcase revolved alone, as confused as I was.
Have you been back to Iraq since 1997?
No, never been.
Do you have any desire to return, either as, you know, to live or just to visit?
It is, this question is always. When I imagine myself there, it mixed feelings. Aside from to say it's how exciting will be, how scary, how I don't know, fearful. Not because of for my life, but it's all the. Even thinking of all the memories and all the experiences of others and all that, that's all aside. But there's a feeling that's so strange that I feel it has some impossibility in it. The reason is that the way you asking me to go back to sleep to see that same dream again.
And you, in many cases, you don't want to see that same dream again, I'm guessing.
I want to see my friends. I want to see the Tigris River. I want to see our house, the childhood house. But many things I don't want to see. And I don't know if I will know the city. Will I see the city I know from the talk of others and my friends as if this is a different. My friend, fiction writer Lotfia Dilemi, she wrote to me, this is not our city. The wolf ate our city.
I understand that you write in Arabic and then translate the poems into other languages by working with translators. In this way, you've produced books in English and Italian. Do you feel anything is lost in the translation? And tell us about the challenges in that process.
There are things lost, but there are things found also. It's interesting. I mean, these days... more than before, I don't know why I am writing bilingually now. So I go the different directions on the page from right and then from the left on the page. Sometimes things come from the left first before the right. It drives me crazy. Why these two, the dual identity, the duality of everything, and how two lives exist in me, even in the language on paper. And so I see that sometimes it depends on the cultural connotation. Like, for example, one of my recent poems, that the first thing I wrote, which was then turned to be the title, On Ground Zero. And then we don't have this. I wrote it in English because it was actually about about the museum in New York, the Memory Museum, where the two towers were before. So there are these artifacts, very interesting. Wanted to turn that to a poem. So On Ground Zero, we don't have that term in Arabic. So it came in English, for example.
What language do you dream in?
Arabic.
Interesting. I mean, it makes complete sense. But sometimes I know when people learn different languages, they start dreaming in different languages. I just wonder if that had any type of influence on your writing. Well, what makes you excited to start writing a new piece? Or what inspires you to write a new piece?
Yes, anything can inspire me. Anything, like an article in a newspaper, like it that I cannot leave, for example, alone without having my own reflection, or sometimes things you can't believe, like how it was rain. I was walking without umbrella, and a nice girl came running, and she put the umbrella, like she shared it with me. And that moment stayed in my mind, and that it was like I had to write about, let's say. I mean, it is sometimes from image, from feeling, anything.
What do you think has been the impact of war on contemporary Iraq and Arabic poetry? I know it's not a simple answer, but...
The war really had two effects, different effects, if we speak of craft, of poetry as craft in Iraq specifically. It trashed some literature of mobilization, what was called literature of mobilization, in that it didn't survive after the war. And on the other hand, it gave this great theme, actually, to writers that to write about, and I don't know. I mean, it is in my poem, The War Works Hard, that has when the war is personified, personified and it has functions. One of the functions, I say, it gives themes to poets. So I don't know. So it depends how you deal with it. Mm-hmm.
The Midwest Poets Series presents Dunya McHale tonight at 7 o'clock. This reading will take place in the Mabee Theater on the campus of Rockhurst University. Dunya McHale, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Enjoy your time in Kansas City.